This is Side Hustle with Luke and Omar. We'll explore what it takes to run a side hustle with talented individuals from different backgrounds and experiences. We will discuss things like taking the plunge, personal challenges, and the balancing act of maintaining a day job whilst side hustling to make the dream a reality. Now sit back, relax, as we talk to some of these amazing individuals. Hey everyone, welcome to another show of Side Hustle with Luke and Omar. And today we have a special guest, Mr. Tony Walsh.
How you doing?
Good, man. Yourself?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for being on here. We really appreciate you giving up your time to be here with Luke and I.
It's a long time coming.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward for this 100%.
Awesome, man. Luke, what's been going on with you, man?
It's been good. It's we just heard restrictions are about to sort of close a bit, so finally we can get out and start to do
things.
Yes,
yes.
Hence why we're recording this episode. It's been a really good week for Jewel of Doves, actually. We had like 30 people join this week.
Yeah, it's been community's definitely increasing. We've got some really serious talent coming through, so
pretty good. Everyone, quick plug if you want to join, please, jewelofdoves.com. But Tony... I'm excited to have you on today because the first hustle I ever did was with Tony.
100%.
Tony, you were actually the one who gave me the confidence to do that hustle. So that was cool. I think we'll get into that eventually.
Yeah.
100%.
But before we get into that, maybe you want to tell us a little bit about your hustle. I guess in your unique case, you've already taken the plunge and now have a hustle on your hustle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been self-employed now for 3 years, and that's the major business of myself. Or the income earner is the mortgage business, which would be your normal 9-to-5, right? So if you have a 9-to-5, it's kind of my 9-to-5. But my side hustle now is Leisure FM, which is something that I love doing, which is just the radio station, which has been going on now since COVID hit with restrictions and the entertainment industry was just turned on its head and DJs couldn't DJ because clubs shut down. So that's essentially why I started Leisure FM.
So maybe tell us a little bit more deeper about that because you've been wanting to do this for years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even like when I had for my birthday, I was talking about this, right?
And
you know, he gave me the inspiration. He said, why are you waiting for that? Just do it now. And I'm like, yeah, I could do it now. But there was nothing kicked it into gear except for COVID. Now, COVID-19 came and just went bang. And I'm like, you know what? Now's the time to do it.
So sure.
It's, yeah.
So talk us through your, obviously, It's very music focused, your side hustle. So talk us through a little bit about your passion. I mean, earlier talking before we started recording, you were telling me a little bit about your involvement with the music industry and things
Absolutely.
Like that. So just talk us through that a little
bit. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, like I was saying to you before, that's right. I mean, I've always had a side hustle. So if my 9-to-5 was school, you know, I was a DJ at 15. So you know, it was always about just, you know, wanting to be a DJ and being in that industry.
Yep.
And that was always my side hustle even back then. So
what sort of genre?
House music, electronic music, underground, all that sort of stuff.
So is that like people, kids' parties and stuff? Like I said, kids at school, not
Absolutely.
Little kids.
When I was at school. When I was at school, it was all like 15-year-old birthday parties. But it progressed from 15-year-old birthday parties into the clubs. And that was, you know, I started club DJing when I was 17, I was still doing it prior to it being legal as such. But, you know, I wasn't drinking. I was just DJing. So, but yeah, I mean, like I've always had that, you know, connection to the scene, even though I don't really DJ much anymore. I've always, you know, a lot of my clientele is in the industry.
Okay. Brilliant. What I want to know is obviously – You just mentioned earlier you started side hustling when your main hustle was school and your side hustle would have started at what age? What, 16, 17?
15. Yeah.
So talk us through the timeline a little bit of you know, being a 15-year-old going, okay, cool. I'd like to do something here on the side, you know, to make a bit of coin.
I don't think it was that, you know, I never sat down with a piece of paper and I thought, okay, you know what, if I can go to school 9-to-5 and then I can make a little money. It's just naturally, right? So it happened naturally in the fact of, you know, I always had a job as well. So even at 15, I worked in the cinemas, but, you know, I always DJed as well. So even though I had the work there, you know, it would always come up like, hey, Tony, I know you're a DJ. Can you DJ for my party? And I'd make, you know, $500 to $1,000 a night DJing back then.
And that'd be cash, right?
Yeah, cash, all cash money. So
for a 16-year-old, that's serious money.
That's serious money, yeah. So I guess before we move on from that, though, how did you... I didn't even know this. I'm Tony's cousin, by the way. How did you learn how to DJ? Like how, because you've always been like, yeah, sure. I DJed and, sure. I was there for all of this. I was
100%
a kid, but like, I was at a lot of the gigs as well, but I never actually thought to ask, like, how did you actually learn how to DJ? Like,
Well, it goes back to really grade six. Like, you know, I was in grade six and it was my grade six. What's the grade six at the end of grade six called? Like graduation. And there was a DJ there and I was like, wow.
That guy is amazing.
That guy's cool. Gangster's Paradise was a song. Right? Cool, yeah. It was about five times that night, right? Yeah. We were like, play Gangster's Paradise. Like, and I wanted that.
That's pretty amazing for grade six, by the way.
No, it was grade six and I was just like, I want to be a DJ. And that was, that's all. And like, you know, I bought CDs and records and had tapes and stuff. And you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, back then as well, Hits FM was a massive inspiration to me, which was the underground radio station at the time.
Sure.
And that went to Kix FM and Kiss FM and, you know, Pulse FM. There's loads of underground sort of radio stations that have been around at that time. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so going back to your question in regards to how I became a DJ, literally the first gig I got, I just went to a DJ shop and I said, hey, I need to borrow some equipment. And I paid them $200 or whatever it was to borrow the equipment. And I literally had that time to learn. And I said, can I come to your house a couple of hours prior? And she's like, yeah, come set up.
Yeah,
I was there like 6 hours before and I was like.
Is this before your first gig?
Before my first gig.
Yep.
And I literally just learned how to beat match that time. So
that's so interesting because that's not dissimilar to how we learned how to make WordPress sites. We got the job and we were like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay, so there's a bit of a trend.
Yeah, for me, it's always about, you know, jumping in the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell that to all of anyone I've ever worked with, whether it be knocking doors, cold calling, whatever it may be in regards to sales, jump in. If you jump in, you're going to figure it out. Mm. You can only get so many no's, you know what I mean? Mm. Or someone telling you that you're rubbish so many times before you learn how to be good. So, you know, and if you love it as well, like I love music. So I had that ear to understand what a good mix sounded like.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So yeah.
Okay. So, What age were you?
DJing?
Yeah.
15.
15. So you started DJing at 15. Did you start picking up more gigs as you went? 100%.
So every party I did led to another party.
Okay.
And led to another party.
So was it every fortnight or every month?
I became at least once a month.
Once a month.
And then it started to become regularly every week.
Sure.
And is that word of mouth?
All word of mouth. There was no internet. Oh, there was an internet back then, but it wasn't like.
But it was like people saw you play. And
people saw you play. And then, like, you know, people like, you should be in the clubs. I can't wait to see you in the clubs. And I was like 17.
Okay.
And then someone goes, do you want to play in a club? And I was like, yeah. So it progresses, you know what I mean? So it's great.
So going through your DJing phase, what other things did you kind of come across? Because Luke also just mentioned that you and him started building WordPress sites at some point.
Yeah.
So just talk us through that timeline from DJing all the way through to other things that you were involved in.
I mean, look, I've always been in sales, if that makes sense. So I suppose, you know, my first real sales job was working in a phone shop, selling face-to-face mobile phones.
And you sold me my first phone.
That's true, I did.
I actually stole my first phone, but my second phone.
Wow.
I sold you your first phone, 100%. Your first genuine phone. No.
Yeah.
So I've always been in sales, right? So it was at the phone shop to start with, and then went from the phone shop to Salesforce, which was, you know, back in Carlton, which is Kevin Penoza, and that was doing outbound cold calling for AAPT or AAPT, if you remember what that was, telecommunications company. So, you know, that was a challenge in itself, just having cold calling. And but, you know, as I started to do that, the DJing kind of started to drop off a little bit.
Okay.
Because it just got to be a bit too hectic to, you know, doing sales all the time. You didn't really want to. But, at one point, I suppose, with all the different sales jobs that I did, the DJing was always there. Like, you know, I was DJing down Chapel Street and all those types of places as well. Until I went overseas.
Yeah.
And then when I went overseas, I came back to nothing because the scene changed, right?
So
that's when DJing for me sort of stopped as a regular type of income.
Okay.
So when you're overseas, I guess just to think of that, like how long were you overseas? And then also was there a side hustle there? Like was there anything that sort of kept you going creatively in that sense?
Well, I mean, the biggest dream for me being a young kid was to go to UK and DJ in the UK.
Sure.
And I never got that opportunity, but I got to DJ in Thailand, which was an amazing opportunity. Like, it's literally, they said to me, if you DJ for us, we'll give you free accommodation and free food.
Yeah, well.
And I was like, this is fantastic. Why am I leaving this place?
Yeah, but, how old were you at the time?
Good question. That was when me and Denise first got together. My wife, so what was that like?
It was a long time ago.
10, 15 years ago now.
Because how long were you there?
I was overseas for 6 months.
Yeah.
I was in Thailand for 1 month. But like that was back in what, 2006, 14 years ago. So okay. I don't know, like 20 something, 22, yep. 23, like in my mid 20s.
Okay.
I'd say, yep. But yeah, so DJ's always been sort of there. But when I came back, literally, I came back to not a lot. Because, you know, nights change, crews change, and that's just reality. That's just normal. So it's fine. But then I obviously came back to having a proper, again, thinking that I had to have a proper 9 to 5.
Yep.
And then, you know, went to work at NLC.
Mm-hmm.
You remember doing me working at NLC and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, definitely. I remember how much you didn't like it as well.
Right, because when you get stuck in being in a 9 to 5 that you're not happy with, essentially, then you look for ways out. And that's when Simple Clever, and that's when we started doing the websites, because, you know, the DJing wasn't there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that night time and that weekend free to be able to just create or be creative. I mean, look, if you look at Luke, like Luke's way more creative in the creative aspect than I am. But for me, it's about that side hustle, like as in, okay, well, how can I make that extra couple of grand here and there, right?
Yeah,
and
that's how can I use my spare time effectively?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, yeah, well, I think that creativity is more so on the visual side, like my creativity. Like,
yeah,
I think creativity comes in all different forms.
Sure.
And that was a really fun time when we did that work for the WordPress sites. We would literally go to a meeting on like the Saturday morning and either sell or like do like a review or whatever. And then on the Saturday night, we'll just hang all night and like implement it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So pretty much like a week turnaround.
Correct. Yep. And we had no kids.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we had no kids, like literally. No, so you could just, you know, go to a meeting in the morning and then just spend the whole day. Just
smash out the entire website like in a weekend.
That first website that we did, like literally we got the deposit and we're like, okay, what are we going to do now? I was like, well, we'll figure it out.
And I guess
remember we hired somebody as well.
Well, I guess just to give a little bit of color to that, that was also an e-com.
Oh, wow.
That was a rental. So people were going to rent things from this website.
Yeah.
So we took on.
And that was our first one.
Yeah, our first one. Not just a WordPress site that we had no idea how to do WordPress.
Sure.
We hired this guy for like $200. He showed us how to do it. And we were like, oh, okay, we don't need you anymore.
Yep.
And then we just kept That's doing right. it ourselves. All he did was install it for us for $200, which I think is a very good fee.
So it was called Clever Smart?
Simple Clever.
Simple Clever.
Simple Clever.
Simple Clever. So it was a DJing, then you took a bit of a pause, and then Simple Clever started?
Yeah. Yep. So Simple Clever started, and then that really gave me an idea of, okay, well, I love doing websites.
Mm.
Why don't I do websites full time? Mm. And then I got made redundant from the NLC and started working at a company called Sites and Stores, which is a website company. I thought I wanted to go down that digital media.
Yep.
And I was there for about a year.
What were you doing there?
I did a couple of things there. I mean, I got promoted pretty much like in a couple of weeks in being in there.
Okay.
And went from just a normal on the phone sort of salesperson to running one of the teams there. But
sure.
You know, it wasn't the place for me, and I left, went back to NLC.
Yep.
Because it kind of changed a bit in regards to their aspect and the way they wanted to run things. It was a much more sales environment. I mean, overall, I was at NLC for 7 years, and that was my longest PAYG role. It was cut up into two different slots, but, in the middle there, there would have been a that Sites and Stores after I've made redundant, and some of it goes through redundancy is a really good, like it kind of puts things into reality. Yep. Like you're never going to be secure.
Yep.
So there's no point in being scared.
Absolutely.
Puts things into perspective.
100%.
I feel like getting made redundant was the best thing that ever happened to me.
100%. Like it made me realize, you might have a full-time job, but if something goes wrong, and they just get rid of you, they can just get rid of you. Yep. So it doesn't matter.
That happened to me, I think, my first job coming out of uni. at an advertising agency. Right. I was the last one in, first one out. And
yep.
that shook my entire world at the time because I had moved out, bought a car. I was like, man, I'm sus.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? Yep. And then that shit hit.
Bang.
You need to tell Tony what you did the moment it happened.
Sorry?
You've said it a couple of times on the podcast. You need to tell him what you did the moment it happened.
What did I do the moment it happened?
You cried your ass off.
That's okay.
I did.
Well, you're allowed to do that. It's fine.
I did. I shed a few tears. Yeah.
I mean, it's scary because you've got this debt that's hanging over your head.
Well, there's that too. But yeah. I think back to your point, when the ground below you shakes.
100%, man.
That's it. You just got to start thinking of other ways of, you know, getting that next paycheck. But sorry, back to where you were.
So you were at NLC, you came back to NLC.
Yeah, that's right. I came back to NLC and literally, you know, I dropped everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I want to come back and I want to prove a point.
Mm.
And that was because when I got my redundant, it kind of shook me a little bit to think, okay, maybe you weren't as good as what you thought you were. I know I was a good writer, don't get me wrong. I was one of the best writers, but
as in
salesperson, as in I was one of the best writers, as in like a salesperson.
Gotcha.
Because I wrote so many deals, right?
Oh, right, writer.
That makes sense. Okay. Writer.
So what does that mean? So it means
like a high performer. So I was one of the highest performers. Like I was a high performer, but because I had like Simple Clever on the side, I never gave it 100%. Does that make sense? Because I was like, you know, I could give my PAYG, you know, 50% and still be a good enough writer. And still give Simple Clever 50%.
Yeah.
But you're never giving anybody 100%.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So I said, okay, after the Sites and Stores gig, I went back to NLC to prove a point and, you know, became the best writer at the time. You know, there's like the 50 club where you write 50 car deals in a month and, you know, that's the 50 club, right? So I got the 50 club.
Actually, that's a good point before you move on. What were you doing in NLC? Like what were you selling?
So NLC stands for Novated Leasing Company and I was selling novated leases. But, you know, when the Rudd government changed the fringe benefit law, the FBT law, that's when they basically cut 50% of their staff and I was one of their staff.
Right.
It never actually eventuated to anything. He just came out and said something, but it didn't actually do anything. Nothing changed. So, you know, if like fringe benefit was still around and that's why they brought everyone back in. But I would refuse to start with to say, you know what, you left me go. I'm going to give the shot a shot here. I want to give websites a shot. But, you know, I ended up going back, proving a point and dropped everything. Like, I didn't do anything after that. Like, we just literally, because I was with Simple Clever and I was doing the, I was working at a website company. It was a conflict of interest. Remember I said to you about that? I had to drop Simple Clever because I was having a conflict of interest. I didn't want to lose my job.
Sure.
And that's why I didn't do anything when I was at Simple Clever. But then I went back to NLC, like I said, and just got to that top, one of the top, the best you can get to, and literally got to the top and said, okay, now what? Right? And then that's a massive realization that, you know, certain companies and certain things, and you can only go so far before. And like, you know, then, you know, as an employer, they don't want to lose you doing what you're doing because you're making them a lot of money.
Exactly.
So if they put you into another place, then they lose that income, even though I'm going to burn out. And it's exactly what I did. I burnt out to a point where I hated. And, you know, towards the end, I was like, I can't do this anymore. Nothing to say that NLC was a bad company. It's just that I got to a point where 7 years is a long time.
Absolutely.
And you burn out, man. Yeah, you just burn out.
It's no longer challenging. It's no longer stimulating.
I was doing it in my sleep. Like I'd go out and have a massive party on the weekend, go into work hungover and still be better than most of the people that were there that were really trying hard. And I was just like, you know.
So think about that point in time. So you're burnt out, you're partying and still being able to perform as you were.
Yep.
So my question is a two-part question. How did that make you feel?
Yeah.
And then leading from that, how did that then kick you into the next thing?
Sure. Hateful, resentful, just negative as. And that's no one wants to be in that position. No one's having fun in that position when they're like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it affected my relationship because I was just coming home, like, you know, losing it. Like, this is...
With your wife?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Just it's not fun to be in.
No, of course.
And
is that also with your colleagues as well?
the you know that toxic person in the office? Mm. I became that toxic person. Yeah, person. Wow. And you don't want to be that toxic person.
No.
And then I was making everybody else toxic.
Yep.
So, yeah. And there were other toxic people in the company as well. So we're all, you know, like, what's that? Misery loves company, right? Mm. So,
mm.
yeah. And looking back now, I can see that.
Mm.
And, you know, the change, kicking, moving from that was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it let me just be free.
Sure.
So, yeah. So I made a decision at that point. Okay, well, what can I do? Because like once you start to realize how a company structure works,
yep.
then you start to realize that your little clog in the, you're a little clog, obviously, and that you know you're replaceable.
Mm.
You're not irreplaceable, but what can you do to then you know get to that point? So I was working in a finance company,
mm-hmm.
right? And I was getting, you know, if you want to talk statistics, I was getting like 0.08%. of the commission that I was earning for the company.
Yeah, wow.
And once you start doing the numbers, you know, I'm making this company 100 grand a month
mm.
and I'm taking home 7 grand. Now, 7 grand as a PAYG is great
mm.
a month.
Mm.
But once you realize you're making 100
yep.
and you're only taking 7,
yep.
you mm. kind of start to feel cheated,
mm.
right? But they've got all the other costs to bear, right? So the operational costs and all sort of stuff.
So sure, sure.
Get it 100%. Yep. And then you start to realize that, right? Because then you're like, okay, well, you know, why don't I become a broker,
mm.
right? And actually, you know, shout out to Brad McDonald. He was the one who said, why don't you become a broker? Mm. And I didn't even realize what that was.
Kind of the finance and the broker side of things, yeah. did you still have something else happening on the side? Because Clever ended ages ago,
yeah.
and then you started focusing more on your actual career.
Correct, on my career, yep. yeah. Yep. But then I dropped that. So I dropped NLC mm-hmm. and became a mortgage broker.
Mm.
And, you know, it literally went from $150,000 income to mm. zero.
Yep.
And just did it.
Yep.
And now 3 years in the future now, I've yep. built up that company to a point where it's comfortable.
Sure.
And like, you know, Leisure FM for me now is a pleasure. Like yep. I just do it for the fun of it because yep. it's beautiful and I mm. love and I have that connection with that industry again
yep.
which goes back to when I was 15.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So, absolutely. So how did you transition out from this 9-to-5 job where you were getting 7K out of 100K mm-hmm. worth of billing
mm-hmm.
per month? How did you transition out of that to kind of go, okay, cool, I'm ready to start doing this on my own?
I had to be positive.
Mm.
So I just said, okay, this is your goal. Right, so I set myself a couple of goals, which was to get qualified,
mm.
Which was a certificate for brokering. So I did that literally while I was at work. It was a 6-month online course. I did it in 3 months.
So mm. that was on the side. That was while you were working.
While I was working. So as I yeah. was working, my side hustle became mortgage broking.
Gotcha.
Right? How do I do that?
Yeah, okay.
And then so I literally learned about how to become a mortgage broker, mm. set everything up, and then just went drop one, picked up the other.
Mm.
But how did mm. that – but in, I guess in reality, how did that work? Like – I guess like that miserable and resentful feeling that you had would have driven you,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming. But then I guess the reality of losing the wage to transition sure. into mortgage broker would be sure. pretty much zero until yeah. you start, you know, making your book. So how did that kind of work?
Well, I mean, look, you know, I joined up with a company called Community Financial Services, which was another one of our clients. If you think back to those days, right? Yeah. A simple cover. Anyway, I went to Community Financial Services where, you know, I started at zero
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and the owner of the company, I kind of said, listen, I've got a family.
Yeah.
You know, I just had my second child.
Yeah.
So I can't just drop a $7,000 income
mm.
and earn zero. It's not going to work. Do you know what I mean? So he said, well, bad luck. That's what you have to do.
Wow.
I went, all right, cool. So I literally just went out to market, like called everybody I knew. Yep. Just, hey, let's talk about mortgages, mm. blah, 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 blah. And I got money in, but like there was a lead to lag time. So I think he just wanted to see that I could do it.
Mm.
And then as I did it, he said, okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put you on an LOC, like yeah. a line of credit, yeah. right? You know?
Yeah. I'm just let me stop you there because yeah. I'm sensing a bit of a trend. I tend to do this with some yeah. of our guests. It seems like nothing is knocking you back. Like nothing is ever rattling you or giving you the shakes or making you uncertain of things. It's just like there's underlying drive.
100%.
So where does that come from? I mean, is that like influence from family? Have you seen people around you? I mean, where does that
not really. I mean, you know, Luke can contest this. And my parents aren't people that go hard. for income or anything like that. I mean, I came from a pretty poor family, man. So, you know, and that's something that I never, I mean, that's probably what the driver ring is. Like, I don't want to be poor. I don't want to rely on anybody else but myself. And
so growing up, you went through hardship. You had to see things. Yeah, and,
we had nothing. Like, you know, what my kids have now versus what I had is nothing. Yep. Like, you know, you would contest to that as well.
Oh,
like,
totally. Right. Yeah, definitely.
Our kids are spoiled compared to what, you know, we had nothing, literally. Well, not nothing. I mean, we didn't play with rocks, you know, but we...
Well, we came up in a time where there was less internet, so we made our own fun as well.
100%. We used our imagination.
Yeah, so. Like, think about my family. Like, my parents... were working in like, well, my mom wasn't actually, my dad was. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how dad went from one wage.
I spoke to your dad and he's my uncle. I spoke to Charlie and I said, how did you do it? Like, because how many brothers and sisters do you have, Luke?
So six kids on one wage and my dad was on like a cleaner wage.
That's nuts.
Like, so think of, like, I think of that. And when I spoke to him, I was just like, how?
Yeah.
Right? But you do. Yeah. But like, going back to like from the drive thing, like, you know, even my boss at NLC, he was like, aren't you scared about doing that? And I'm like, mate, I'm relying on me. Can you not rely on yourself? I said, if you don't rely on yourself, well then who are you going to rely on?
Yeah.
And he was like, shit, yeah, okay. And I was like, because once you, like, you know, energy for me is big, right? I'm all about the energy. And if anyone knows me, I'm like here. You can't see what I'm doing, guys, but I'm like, I'm up there all the time. Like, you know, I'm always 100%. Like fucking boom, boom, boom. But on the flip side, if I use that for negative, I'm fucking down here.
So the extremes are extreme.
Extremes and extremes. So if, you know, I don't want to be down here. To bring yourself back up to here can be hard. But for me, I've just been like, nah, just do it. That's what you want to do. How much money can you make? Yes, I can make a lot of money out of that.
With that type of attitude, how do you kind of maintain relationships and stuff like that? Because it can be kind of either contagious when you're around people and people can feed off the energy, and sometimes people can get scared. Get scared of that energy and go, whoa, hold on, this guy is just too much for me. I need to back up.
It's a good question, because there are a lot of people that, you know, it takes a lot of time to warm up to me. And I can sense that. Right. So with those relationships, I'm not gonna come and go, wow. Like, I can't be.
You can read the room. 100%.
I mean, that's a DJ's job, right? If you play a shit track, you're going to clear the floor. Right? So if I say something that's shit and the guy walks away, I can't say that again. Or that type of stuff to that person. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I'm a big reader of personality and judge of character, I suppose, as well. So at the end of the day, you know, going back to that, you just have to read the room. And if you know what you know, and again, like, you know, I sell. Right. So the good thing about mortgages is I say this to all my clients, I don't sell you at all. You called me, you asked me to come to your house to talk to you about mortgages. I could sell you if I really wanted to, but I don't, because I sell your situation to the bank. That's my sales job now. I say, hey, I got customer A and B. I got 40 banks to use. Let's find the best bank for you, the best deal. I sell the bank. I don't sell you, because I could if I wanted to, but I don't do that anymore.
Right. So it's kind of like with your customers, you're seeing if you guys are a good fit to go to team together.
Oh, 100%. And that's what that first meeting is like, hey, let me come to your house. This is who I am. Sure. And the beautiful thing is I don't have to bullshit to anybody anymore. Yeah, I don't have to pretend to be something that I'm not. I'm just, hey, this is me. And, you know, sometimes you can tell that they'll never call me again. Unless, you know what? That's good. I don't want to deal with you. No, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be that person, and that's fine.
Yep.
So
currently you're doing the mortgage thing as your 9-to-5, working for yourself, and then you've got this Leisure FM. So talk us through Leisure FM a little bit.
Lesh.
I beg your pardon.
That's all right. So literally, like, you know, it's a strange one, because – as COVID-19 hit, I mean, it's still so fresh. It is fresh, right? But as COVID-19 hit, you know, the mortgage industry didn't really, like, everyone was like, am I going to do nothing?
Yeah, of course.
And that's fine. Because I want them to. I don't want people to force people to buy a house. My advice right now is don't buy a house. Like, the market hasn't crashed yet for the mortgages. And it's about to crash. Do you know what I mean? So that's not, and I can't give you advice about that, FYI, everybody. So just don't, like, don't listen to my advice. But
just don't buy a house, mate.
No. Yes, please don't.
He's on Jewel of Doves if you ever want to ask him a question.
Yeah,
absolutely. But my advice is, like, you know, I'm you know, I had to stop and say, okay, well, I'm talking to people and they're saying, oh, look, man, I didn't speak to anyone that lost their jobs.
Mm.
So that's a good sign to me. My book or my client book isn't based on casual employment, sure. If that makes sense. Yeah, my book is more blue collar kind of people. So sure. they have just been working from home. So there's no drama there.
Yep.
Yeah.
But some of the clientele that I was dealing with mid COVID-19, you know, they've had their days reduced. So the deals that I was about to go to do, I couldn't do them anymore. So, you know, instead of me going crazy, because I'm always you
can't sit still.
No, I cannot sit still.
You've got to. Right? Seems like you've got to point your energy at one. At something and kind of give it your all.
Right. Oh, and it's intoxicating because like when this happened, like when this Lesh thing happened.
Yes, it was.
Like, it was so intoxicating that I'm just like, let me help you. I'll help you with the website. Let's do the logo. Let's just go.
Yeah.
And I had no freelance as well. So it's like, fuck it. Let's just get some
true.
Yeah,
well. But like, you know, and thank goodness for Luke because the website that I'm using now is gold. Right. You know, and like I'm not as good to build websites as what Luke is in regards to visually and stuff like that. I can build a website, right? Yeah. You know, I can build one. But
we're both of the same skill. So all I did was make the template for him, which is the same template we're using, just in a different way.
Sure.
And then, yeah, now you're just running with it and just duplicating. But okay. I guess, can you maybe run us through the... So it's only been, like this COVID, it's only been a short time, right? Like we've been locked down.
Sure.
And Lesh FM is only, like 2 months old, a month old?
Maximum.
Yeah.
So can you maybe run us through... I guess this trajectory, because I think it's a testament to your like drive and tenacity because it's gone from what it was like 4 weeks ago
to now
with this cube massive, as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Like, can you maybe speak to that a little
bit? Well, I mean, look, you know, to be honest, to start up Lesh FM, because I obviously when I work inside an office, I'm the music man, as you can imagine, right? Mm. So I've got Spotify on all the time and I'm always playing music for everyone in the office.
Mm.
And, you know, like, shout out to Kim if she's listening, but, you know, at the end of the day, Kim was like, what am I going to do now? Well, I'm not going to have you there. Like, you play my music. Kim is one of the girls in the office.
Sure.
So I was just like, and going back to that original thing, I always run the radio station. It was purely to play my mixes and my music on the station. That's all I created it for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then... I took ego and put it to the side and said, okay, hold on a second. Like, I don't even make music. I don't really make DJ mixes anymore. I don't. I just muck around with a bit here and there just for fun. But I don't sit like, you know, people are grinding out there. Their side hustle is being a DJ and they want to be a big DJ. And I'm just like, how can I collab with all these guys? And literally, as soon as I started to push it on Facebook, because all I used was Facebook. There's so many other things to use, but it's too much. So I just used Facebook and literally was like, who wants to have their DJ mixes on a radio station? And no one knows how big it is. No one knows that it's like, everyone just looks at Lesh FM. They're like, okay, cool. So it literally went from my music and my MP3 music, right, to my DJ mixes, to everybody else's DJ mixes. And that just organically, I went from asking people and being like, please let me have your mix, to people emailing me saying, hey, here's my mix and here's my bio, here's my images.
Yeah, because they want to be on the website, right?
They want to be on the website. I'm giving away free promotion.
Sure. So using the website as a platform to promote their music and stream it?
That's right.
Okay. And what player are you currently using? Is it on Spotify?
It's built in. We did a HTML5 player.
No. I guess we didn't really talk.
Sorry, I'm actually using Winamp. Which is hilarious.
Well, we actually haven't gone into detail of what the radio is. So maybe that leads to that question, I guess. So maybe do you want to go into like the streaming side of it and like...
Sure.
Because it's not like a on-demand type.
Oh, gotcha.
No, it's like a proper traditional radio station.
Okay.
Right? If you think about that, it's... If you want to listen to it, you've got to go to the radio. You've got to go to leshfm.com and then just press play. Mm. Right? And then that will get my stream. Right? So it's a 24-hour stream that's just pushing out audio.
And you've got 24 hours worth of... Content, I got keep it playing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I program it.
Yeah.
I program, put the DJ mixes in there.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that takes up time.
Yeah.
That's the killer for me right now. Is that how much time it takes up?
Yeah.
Because I haven't found the program or I haven't found the situation. It's just me. It's manual.
Mm.
It's all me doing it manually.
Mm.
Like before I came here today, I set up till 12 o'clock tonight. Yeah. So then when I get home tonight, I'll set up tomorrow morning and then tomorrow day as well.
Sure.
So when a DJ sends you like their mix and everything,
sure.
Do you have a listen first? Or you just trust it, or like how do you make that?
I skip. So I play it. I'm like, okay, that's psytrance. Or, okay, yep, that's house, or that's deep house, and I put it into a category. It's progressive, sure.
But what about the mixing skill and the actual mix?
Generally, you can tell by their following. Like, you know, someone that sends me, it's like, you know, 3,000 followers. Like, they're not going to
get
shit.
Yeah, I see.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I did get a bad experience, and I got some guy from overseas that sent me an R&B one. And I mean, I listen to the station all the time.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So that's always playing in my house. So if it's horrible, I can tell. And I'm like, damn, that's rubbish. But there was an R&B guy that sent me this mix, and I was driving in the country, and I was just like, he's not even mixing. I lost it.
But you mean just like track up the track?
Yeah, he was just like truck down and then track up. And I was like, that's not fucking DJing. That's just playing tracks. I could do that. A three-year-old could do that, right?
Yeah.
And it was shit quality. And, you know, that's for me, quality is quality, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Literally emailed him and said, hey, man, thanks for your mixes, but they're rubbish. And
not so harsh.
Yeah, but I said, that's not what I'm looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
You haven't even mixed this stuff. Mm. I'm happy to listen to it again if you try and mix.
Yeah.
But don't give me – and a high quality, right? And he's like, oh, thank you for your time. I was like, okay, then cool, delete. So, but that's just one out of all the DJs that I've got.
Yep.
And, you know, and then it evolved actually from that point, from just doing DJ mixes to that when I contacted you with This Is Gonna Be Good, which was a rapper. So I put out a little thing about why I'm doing Lush FM on Facebook. And someone goes, it's a shame you're not doing it for rappers as well. And I was like,
doesn't mean that I can't.
I never said I wasn't, number one. And I just contacted him, right? I'm like, hey, man, I'm happy. Like, what's the deal? He's like, well, I've got a crew. We had something booked in for COVID-19 at the laundry, but it's been cancelled. And then literally my mind just went, bang, really? Well, let's do it on Lush FM. And, man, I had the biggest spike of traffic I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
it went from like, you know, normal was like 100, went to 250 on that night.
So they sent you a mixtape
So they had about eight artists or something, whatever it was.
Yep.
And they sent, so I dedicated the Thursday night to them. So I started at 7 and went till 12.
Okay.
And just put all their tracks in there.
Yep.
It was an EP launch, right?
Sure.
So I had the thing and had like voiceovers and just put it in there. And that was very stressful, but it worked. And then the next week, I got a psytrance event that went for 28 hours.
Whoa.
28 hours of psytrance.
Yeah.
And like, I wasn't even a big fan. I didn't know what psytrance was, which is, you know, because I'm not in the industry that much anymore. But it went, literally started at 4 o'clock on the Friday and went till Sunday morning.
That's nice.
And like the jump I got was even more than
incredible.
The other one. Right.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any way you can just think of ideas like while you're talking about this. I wonder if there's any way you can connect with the people listening, because thinking about the people listening for that amount of time or for however long, like, is there a way?
Facebook. So everyone comments on Facebook. And
yeah. So people are, there's a dialogue happening.
There is dialogue happening.
Yeah.
But then that goes to that next level, which is the cube.
Yeah.
Right. And that was literally just me sitting down on that isolation event the next morning, on a Saturday morning, like, it was still going. There were people still on the radio station listening, and I was freaking out, like, you know, there's people staying up, you know, listening to this stuff.
Yeah,
I was asleep. I had kids, right?
That's what I mean, I guess, with people staying up listening. Like, people, it was cool to have dialogue happening, right? Yeah.
Because it went to this pyramid, right, where you've got like, okay, this is me, this is Lush FM, and then you've got these DJs and you've got their followings.
Yep.
So it goes, the reach is massive.
Mm-hmm.
My reach was like, you know, on Facebook, I got what, 3,000 people on Facebook, right?
Yep.
But then they might have 4,000 people. So then there's like, you got 28 DJ mixes.
Tapping into everyone else's networks and stuff
and
like that.
And in my mind, as it's going crazy, like, oh my God, this is huge.
So how did that give birth to?
The Cube?
To Cube.
Literally, the next day, I was watching Facebook Live and Tiesto, you know, Tiesto is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tiesto was live on his own stage.
Mm-hmm.
And he had like 5,100 people watching him. And I'm just like, why are we not doing this? Mm-hmm. So literally, and I called Concert Audio Visual, which was one of our first clients and a very good friend of mine, Joe Sofo, who's one of my clients for mortgage broking as well. So I've been, you know, I don't know him for a very long time. And I said, hey, man, why aren't we doing this? Because he's got all the gear, right? Because you can't hire anybody. So
yeah, give him a bit of a shout out and a plug maybe.
Concert Audio Visual, of course, concertav.com.au. They do all sales and hires for DJ equipment. And yeah, check them out. They've been around for a very long time. That's where I buy all my DJ gear for. Mm. If you want to hire anything, if you're a DJ and want to hire something, they do all the hires as well.
Correct. They also we actually bought all this podcast equipment from them as well.
We did.
They gave us a good deal.
Massive plug.
Shout out to them.
Definitely.
Thank you.
But yeah, so literally contacted Joe. I was like, Joe, what are we doing, man? Mm. Like literally, let's like, cause he's sitting there like, fuck man, I got all this equipment here and I can't rent it out. Yep. I can't hire it, I can't sell it.
Yep.
Cause of this COVID-19 thing. So it went from like me from Let's FM to this point to events to now the Cube. And the Cube is a $500,000 live stream stage.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, everyone's been live streaming from their bedroom, which is great. I mean, Carl Cox does it, which is fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. And in respect to Carl Cox, 100%.
But it does look shit though.
It does look shit. Yeah. And the worst thing is some of them are just using their phone microphone.
Yeah.
And I'm a stickler for quality. Yeah, sound quality especially, like because I'm a DJ. Yeah, I still buy records. Yeah, so sound quality for me is, you know, ultimate. So when I'm seeing these people that are having like, you know, this one phone, I'm just like, you're playing vinyl.
Yeah.
You're playing vinyl and you're using your mic. Like, come on, you're a DJ. Make one extra plug and plug it in. So anyway, that's where I came from. I got a lot of hate from that on Facebook, FYI. I got a lot of hate. Like people, I put that on Facebook. I'm like, look at all these DJs. And everyone's like, we're just trying to make everyone happy. I'm like, oh, shit. Sorry. Fucking sooks. Jesus Christ. Anyway, so I got a lot of hate, yeah? But anyway, I don't care because I'm just – this is how I feel.
Yeah.
You are who you
that's
are, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yes, but I didn't want any negative towards your fam, so I just deleted it. I'm like, fuck it, delete it. I don't want negative things. Like, oh, this girl, you know what I mean? So bad luck, whatever.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. Everyone has a fucking opinion, but like, let them have an opinion. That's fine. do you know what I mean? Let them have one. No, but yeah, so literally called Joe and literally Ben from VizFX, which is the other partner of this cube as well.
Okay.
Called Joe. It was about to call Joe that same day. And Joe called him because he's a laser guy. So it's like we all had this idea at the same time.
Yeah, wow.
And I was like, boom. So, yeah, we've launched that. That's been live now. What week are we in? We're in week three this week.
Yeah.
And we went from we now stream live on a Friday and a Saturday night to
– So what is it? Describe it because you still –
I know. It's like, so it's like a stage, $500,000 stage where you've got like a $150,000 laser light show.
Amazing.
And you've got like, you know, 5-6 cameras, DJs come in and they play their mix. They play their – and it's live.
Wow.
And we go stream out to Facebook, Instagram, Mixcloud, YouTube, what's the other one? Twitch. And obviously Let's FM as well. So we go out to all those platforms all at the same time.
Yep.
And we've been getting some sick traction, man. Like it's been going really, really, really well. And it's fun. Yep. Does that make sense? So, you know, you can't have fun through isolation. And we're like, fuck that, man. We're going to have some fun. Because we're sticking to all the rules, but we're having some fun. Like, do you know what I mean?
So like you mentioned earlier, you've done this kind of 180. You've gone back to your number one passion of music.
100%.
And it's taken you a freaking pandemic to get there. So what does this mean for you now when things go back to normal? I mean, things aren't going to go back to normal, and this saying is so annoying that people say things are going to go back to normal, but when things
will go back to normal, saying that it's not going to go back to normal really pisses me off because it is going to go back to normal.
The normality is the question. You know, what is normality? Normal? Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a good question, right? What is normality, right? It doesn't exist. But anyway,
exactly.
Yeah.
But once kind of, you know, you get back on your absolutely, you know, in your mortgage gig and sure, you've got the music.
And that's where, you know, that's a good conversation me and Luke were having on the way here. Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm not making any money out of this.
No,
this is not a money maker.
No, so you're still in that honeymoon
passion period. But had the conversation today about how to monetize it.
Yeah.
I mean,
being a salesperson like yourself, you'd already been thinking about that.
100%. And like, you know, I went to Joe because Joe's also, you know, he's in a businessman. We get along so well because we're on that same spectrum in regards to, okay, yeah, we love doing this, but how can you make money out of it? And so, you know, I had the conversation, especially with Simon today, Simon Faruja, which is your brother.
Yeah, episode.
First episode,
pilot episode.
Yeah. And like, you know, preps to him because he came to me, he rang me today and said, hey, because you launched Lesh FM, you gave me the inspiration to quit my 9-to-5.
Yeah, well.
And I was like, fuck, man.
It's contagious, luck, isn't it?
No, good luck, but I'm glad because it is contagious, man. Yeah. And, you know, I still know people that are PAYG. I'm also like, you know, like you have to take the plunge. You have to jump.
Yeah.
Because once you do, you are your own responsibility. Mm-hmm. So like now, thinking back now, like, you know, I've got my wife and she's like, how much time are you spending on Lesh FM? I'm like, yeah, I know. Because there's that, like, is that first start where you just go pump, pump, pump. Mm, like, I'm up till 3 a.m. I don't give a shit. 3 a.m, just getting shit done, and making zero, where I could be working on a mortgage and make $5,000.
Yep.
Yeah, but if you're doing it for the love, like,
it doesn't matter.
The money will come. The money will come.
So hopefully we can monetize it. And we've already been thinking about ways to monetize it. And if we can, I mean, it could evolve. Like, I mean, my ultimate goal was to have a club.
Mm.
That's what I really wanted.
Okay.
That was a goal I had.
I can see you being a club owner.
Yeah, of course. I've got, like, that was one of the things I really wanted to do. Mm. And I know the statistics. Like, I know clubs have 10 years of lifespan. So the clubs don't go longer than 10 years. You know, you can look back to Heat My Club and all the other clubs and stuff like that. They don't go longer than 10 years. That's it, right?
Yeah.
So if we set it up to that point, I know I'd get 10 years out of it. Mm. But that would be 10 years. Like, that would be a bucket list. 10 years. I ran the Cube. You know, it might not be called the Cube, but we could take the Cube to places.
Mm.
But if it gets to a point where we're really making a fair bit of money out of it, well, we could do whatever we want.
Yeah.
So, you know, with money comes opportunity. And I just hope, like, I think – the conversation I had today was amazing. So hopefully I can have that conversation again.
Definitely.
And we can monetize it. Because if we can monetize it, well, you know. But it might not be for everything.
Think about the name, like the Cube. I could imagine this being like a little subset of like a festival or something.
Absolutely. You have your own
enclosed area or whatever. Like,
it's a brand, right? Mm. And it's a brand that it's starting to pick up now, and people are talking about the Cube, and that's, you know, that's something that it's amazing when you create something like that. It's just like it becomes, and that's I created that, you know what I mean? So yeah, I'm really excited about it. Obviously, that's, I love amazing. It. So, but yeah.
That's awesome. Looking at the clock now, we obviously don't want to keep you around here for too long. What I wanted to understand, I mean, you've got a lot of drive, you've got a lot of ambition, but I'm curious to know if you've had any mentorship throughout your kind of career, throughout your side hustles.
Any mentors?
People that you can kind of lean to for, you know, business advice, life advice, personal advice?
I mean, not really. I mean, I suppose every manager that you have is a mentor in some way or some form.
Okay.
And I mean, like, I don't have, like, I know there are people that, like, you know, that look up to, like, you know, specific people, and they do like those podcasts, but they listen to
the seminars and
stuff.
Yeah,
like you know, like, I got a mate of mine who's like bang, he knows exactly who these people are, and I'm not like that, right? But I have the guidance from those people in regards to things that I see. That's what influences me. Like, I'm like, okay, if I can, someone is already doing this right now, we can do that as well.
Mm.
So why can't we do it? Mm. And we can make it better. So that's, I suppose, to answer that question anyway, I don't really have anyone that I go, you know, that's who I want to be, or I don't want to be like anybody else. I want to be me.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
and I'm not like anybody else. Yep. I'm Tony. So. Mm. I hope that answers your question.
No, it totally does. It definitely does because what you're telling me is that there's definitely a certain level of confidence that you've got instilled within you, but at the same time, you're humble about it. You're not going out there, you know, talking a lot of shit. You're just kind of making, you're letting your walk do most of the talking.
Sure.
You're taking action. You're showing people what's up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just letting that progress from there.
There has been people, like, I was going back to my manager. Like, when I did my first week in cold calling, like, I'm not sure if anybody's been a cold caller, but, like, you know.
I've tried it.
You tried it, right?
Didn't last a week.
Yeah, so I lasted a week. And I was sitting there, like, I can't fucking do this, man. Mm. I was like, hi, my name's Taylor. Like, fuck you. And I'm hanging up, right? And I was just like,
great.
Why the fuck are you going to do this?
Yeah.
And literally, my manager at the time said, Khalil, he goes, come here. He goes, Tony, everybody on this floor loves you. You can do this, man. This is easy. And he just said, that's all he said to me.
Mm.
And I went, yeah, I can do this. And I became the best fucking salesperson there. And that was because someone said to me, you can do this. You know what I mean? Like, that positivity of.
You needed that little push.
You know what I mean? That little push. And now the difference is I don't need that anymore.
Mm.
I know it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just that you need to just believe in yourself.
Mm.
And that's the thing. Like, as long as everyone believes in themselves, they will go far.
Yeah.
But if you don't believe, like, you're your best friend or your worst enemy, man.
Definitely.
If you don't believe in yourself, who's going to believe in you?
You stole. Yeah. I mean, you stole my last question because that was going to be if you have any advice for anyone else to
that's
who
it,
was
like,
looking to.
You don't believe, yeah, that's true. If you don't believe in yourself, who's going to believe in you? Like,
exactly.
I used to say, love yourself, right? Like, like, and I was like, what do you mean, love yourself? I'm like, bro, if you don't love yourself, who's going to love you?
100.
You know what I mean?
100%.
Like, and people are like, oh, I'm like, if you can't love who you are, how can you expect somebody else to love you? I'm not saying love yourself like you're up yourself. Just love who you are. Love who you can you are and what you
own
do.
Own yourself.
Exactly. And that's what I will own myself. I'm not the best person in the world. Like I have my flaws. We all do. Know that. And I understand that is who you are.
Yeah.
And work with it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, yeah, that lesson of knowing, like knowing what you can do and believing that you can do it. I feel like I haven't hit my potential yet because I haven't left my job. And when I do, like
we have talked about this all the time. So.
Oh yeah. I have had a taste before of like in the redundancy of like losing my job and then seeing what I can do, what I can hustle in that little bit of time.
Correct. I remember.
So I know that I can do it. I just need to get off my ass and take the plunge.
Look, it's scary. Sorry. You were going to say something?
No.
It's scary. Look, for everybody out there that's listening to this, anyone that is listening to this, you obviously are interested in, you have a side hustle and how do you make that your full-time hustle? But you know, like I was saying to Luke today, I've got a full-time hustle. And I've always had a side hustle. So now I've got another side hustle and that, you know, and then I'll have that and then I'll make another side hustle. It doesn't stop. It doesn't, there's no end. You end when you die. That's it. So keep going. And like I always said to Luke, me and Luke have conversations all the time about this. I'm like, you just have to just do it.
Yep.
There's not going to be a right time.
Yep.
Like when you want to be a dad, like I'm a dad now, like two and one on the way.
Yeah,
well. I was like, nah, I never want to be a dad. But now I am. And there was never a right time to say, now the time, like women know straight away, I want to have a baby. But guys are like, no, I don't want to have a baby, right?
Exactly.
So, it's not until the baby comes out when you're like.
Correct. Till you know you can do it.
It's now I have to.
It happens. Now you have to, right?
Yeah.
But that's it. Like the redundancy for you, you're like, fuck, I have to make some money.
Yeah,
and you just push and you go hard. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm a lion, man. If you put a lion into a corner, he's going to claw his way out. And that's my favorite saying. Because I'm a lion, man. I've always been one.
Yep.
You put me into the corner, I'm not going to be like,
yep.
I'm going to come out clawing.
Yep.
I'm going to win.
So,
yeah.
Wow.
Sorry.
No.
Don't come for Tony, man. He'll claw you out.
Yeah, I'm a nice guy, but like, yeah, don't put me in the corner.
No,
like,
for
you
sure.
You know what I mean? No?
For sure, man.
Oh, no, I saw that in a positive way, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Positive, always positive.
Yeah.
Did you want to... Plug in your everything, radio, your
mortgage broker, radio, everything.
So, I mean, yeah, come to me. I mean, obviously at the moment I make my income from mortgage broking, personal loans, car loans, all finance related things. It's not sexy. I know it's not sexy, but when you need it, you know, hopefully just shout out to me.
Yeah.
That's tonywalsh.com.au.
You better call Tony.
but like, you know, if you're into underground hip hop, underground house, anything underground, they're all Melbourne artists. There are a few overseas artists from Brazil and from Canada, but majority is all Australian owned.
That's awesome.
Owned
Australian
bread,
operated
bread,
Australian
bread,
your bread
Australian.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's Lesh FM. So Lesh LESHFM.com. That's it, man. And the cube, you can find the cube through there as well. Every Friday, every Saturday night.
Okay.
We have loads of different stuff. We've got bands coming in, hip hop, R&B, underground house, club. We've actually got I'm really excited about this. We've got a Daft Punk tribute.
Oh,
gig.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Coming in. Like, it's going to be all, like, Daft Punk don't come to Australia often.
No.
So, I'm a big Daft Punk fan. So, it's going to be a mad, like, they're going to come in, they're going to smash it. So, check that out. That's coming out soon.
Awesome.
But yeah, man, thank you for having me on. I was nervous about this.
No.
I don't think I've ever seen you nervous before. It was weird seeing you.
It was. I was like, I did make you nervous. Well, yeah, I'm loving this. I can speak for 4 hours. So, yeah.
Nah, man, the pleasure is all ours. We're really grateful that you can spare some
no worries,
time with us.
100%.
On this Wednesday afternoon? No, Wednesday.
COVID is messing
Wednesday?
My day.
I know, it is. Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
Okay, it is.
Days are mixing it.
Yeah, hump day.
Yeah.
Thanks again, man. It's been awesome.
Thank you so much.
100%.